Did you enjoy the baptisms? It always does my heart good to see people who have put their faith and trust in Christ and Christ alone, that then they follow through with what Jesus instructed us to do by believers' immersion underwater. Just great stuff, and it always encourages my heart. Glad you liked it. First service, we were full where people were standing in the first service, and we had a good crowd here. It's just great to see everyone today, and we are pumped because it's Baptism Sunday. But we're in a series called Toxic, and we're talking about things that kill relationships. And so last Sunday, we talked about the issue of isolation and how we can stay to ourselves and not have relationships. Obviously, that's not good. And talked about how God is eternally in community in the Trinity, Father, Son, and Spirit, forever in community. And that when he created us in his image, that part of that is that he created us to have a relationship with him, most importantly, but also he's created us, he made us, to have relationships with other people. And so that's what we're focused on in our series, and we're talking about different things that destroy that. And today, we're talking about one of the main issues that hurt relationships, and it's the issue of carrying a grudge or being vengeful or resentful, which all leads to bitterness. Grudges, bitterness, it's a relationship killer because it just compounds and it doesn't give the relationship a chance. And so we all have reasons for grudges, I guess, in that we've all been wronged and we've all wronged others. And a lot of times when we experience somebody doing wrong to us, you know, then we don't like it and we carry that around. As a matter of fact, we talk about grudges like we talk about our babies. Have you ever noticed that? We use the same language. We hold our grudge, right? We carry our grudges. We nurse our grudges. You ever hear any of these comments? That's how we talk about grudges. And what are we doing when we nurse our grudge? Well, we're feeding it, hoping that it will grow up and get bigger. You know, that's not a good thing for grudges. And when we do that with grudges, it breeds bitterness into a relationship. And so a grudge is deadly, deadly to relationships. And that's what we're going to find out that the Bible says. And we're going to unpack that, and it always leads to long-term bitterness. It's a lot to carry around. About this time of year, every year, for the last few years, I go bow hunting for elk out west. And part of that is we all carry packs. And so we have a backpack that's got some supplies. Every day we go out from before light till after dark, we are carrying a pack. And the whole point is, you know, we'll have food and water and stuff like that. But the point is that not only do we carry that, and I've never weighed that. I don't know how much that weighs. It's not too bad. But the theory is these packs are specially designed that if we killed an elk, it was like the size of a horse, you know, we can quarter it up and each take a quarter, which would be about 100 pounds or so, and then our pack will accommodate that. And we'll carry it out. So for me, I've been lugging around this pack for 4 years just so I might have the opportunity to carry somebody else's meat out when we've been hunting because it's never my meat, you know? So that's the way it kind of goes. So we'll see what'll happen this year. I don't know. But so I carry a pack to pack out other people's meat. But that's not something that we normally want to carry around with us. A loaded pack like that. Yet, there are people in this room who have been carrying around grudges, resentment, kind of a vengeful spirit, bitterness toward people all this time. And it's a lot to carry, and God's telling us we should not be carrying that. And so what do we do about it? Well, the solution, of course, is forgiveness. And Jesus talked a lot about forgiveness. And a lot of you have heard a lot about forgiveness, but we just have to be reminded, hey, in our day-to-day relationships, to have great relationships, it always requires the ability to forgive. Because we're imperfect people, and we will hurt other people, and they will, hurt us or wrong us. We'll wrong other people intentionally or unintentionally, and they will, wrong us in the same way. And so, as Jesus teaches about this, he actually teaches in several places in his ministry, but I'm kind of drilling down on Matthew 18. And he's telling us kind of how to deal with that. And he's teaching about it because it can be difficult. And sometimes people don't always agree. And he's kind of laid out a method for us to resolve that. And one time in his ministry, a disciple who seemed to have some issues in this area, he must have been struggling to forgive, because he approaches Jesus and he asks him a question about forgiveness. And the question has to do with, what if we forgive somebody but they keep doing it? How many times? What's the limit? What's up with that? And so it's Peter. He asked Jesus this question. It's in Matthew 18, beginning in verse 21. Then Peter came and said to him, talking about Jesus, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him?" And Peter doesn't stop there. He kind of throws out, because he's learned a lot about forgiveness. So he says, "Up to seven times? Should I just keep forgiving till I've forgiven seven times?" He said, and Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven times," he's talking about. And Peter must have heard that and just went, wow. So why'd Peter throw out the seven? Well, we just happen to know in the first century that rabbis taught that you would forgive your brother three times, but the fourth time you would withhold forgiveness. And so Peter knows Jesus is big on forgiveness, so he doubles it. He throws in another one. Seven times? Not the three the rabbis say. Seven? And Jesus says, no, it's more like 70 times seven. And notice the real question from Peter is not how many times. The real question, the heart of the question is, when can I stop forgiving? If somebody keeps hurting me, somebody keeps offending me, sinning against me in some way, when can I stop forgiving them? I know I'm supposed to be forgiving. I'm good with that. But when can I stop? And Jesus answers, 70 times 7. Now, that's a hard phrase there, a number in the Greek to translate. And so some versions will say 77 times, some will say 7 times 70, which really, it doesn't really matter, because that's not the point. His point is not 7 times, or it's not 7 times, it's 77 times, or it's 490 times. That's what Jesus is saying, but what's the implication? The implication is not that, hey, on the 78th time, or the 491st time somebody offends you and wants forgiveness, boom, you crush them like a bug because you are done, you fulfilled it. That's not the point. What Jesus is saying, no, there's no limit. You just keep going with forgiveness. That's what he's saying. But then we're thinking, well, unlimited, does somebody that keeps doing the same thing, how does that make sense? It just doesn't seem to jive with reality. And then Jesus tells us why our forgiveness should be unlimited and how it makes sense when he follows that up with a story called a parable. And this is a story, a parable, and we're all in it, okay? So here it goes. It starts in the next verse, verse 23. He says this, "For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he had begun to settle them, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. But since he did not have the means to repay, his Lord commanded him to be sold along with his wife and children and all that he had, and repayment to be made. So the slave fell to the ground and prostrated himself before him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will repay you everything.' And the Lord of that slave felt compassion and released him and forgave him the debt. But that slave went out and found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. And he seized him and began to choke him, saying, 'Pay back what you owe.' So his fellow slave fell to the ground and began to plead with him, saying," sounds familiar, right? He says, "Have patience with me and I will repay you." But he was unwilling and went and threw him into prison until he should pay back what he was owed. So when his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were deeply grieved and came and reported to their Lord all that had happened. Then summoning him, his Lord said to him, 'You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not also have had mercy on your fellow slave in the same way that I had mercy on you?' And his Lord, moved with anger, handed him over to the torturers until he should repay all that was owed him." So we hear, you know, you got the story in a nutshell. A guy's forgiven 10,000 talents, huge sum, and then he's just forgiven. And so he doesn't even ask to be forgiven. He says, "Give me time, have patience." But but there's no way he's going to pay it back. He's not able to. It's too big. And so he leaves. But then when he sees another guy that just owes him 100 denarii, he gets him. He starts choking him. And that guy says the same thing to him. "Give me some time, I'll repay you." And he says, "No way." Well, then everybody hears about that. They report it to the king. The king calls the guy back in and he throws him in jail, you know, forever kind of a deal, because he will never be able to repay that. And so the king realizes that the man's heart was not impacted. Think if you were the king and these guys are both your servants. And so you forgive this one guy, and we'll talk about the amount of that forgiveness. It's astronomical. But then he goes out and grabs another guy and starts choking him, throws him into jail for, you know, 100 denarii, 300 denarii was a year's wage. A denarii was about a day's wage, but they didn't work every day because of Sabbath and all that. So about 300 denarii is what they considered a year's wage. This is a third of that. This is a chunk of change. Just like somebody, you know, they owed us $15,000, depending on what you make. You know, I mean, if you scrape that money together and lent somebody that, I mean, you want it back probably. You probably need it back. It's probably a sacrifice. So, you know, you lend it, you want it back. But if this is the way it is, if the king realizes man's heart is not impacted and so he punishes him, well, as we look at the story, Jesus is teaching us really three things that we need to grasp. And the first is this: Jesus teaches why forgiveness is crucial. So first of all, forgiveness is crucial and why that is. Second, he teaches what forgiveness is. And then third, he teaches how we can pull that off, how we can make that happen. So we're going to dive in. We're going to look at this through the story. So Jesus says over and over, not just in this Matthew 18, but other places, that spiritually speaking, forgiveness is a matter of life and death spiritually. Forgiveness is huge. It couldn't be more important as we read through what Jesus says. So after the story ends, then Jesus, he doesn't always do this in his parables, but this time, just so we don't miss the whole point, he gives a one-sentence summation. And here it is, the next verse. He says, story's over. And then Jesus says, my heavenly Father will also do the same to you. Remember, the story ended with a guy tortured in prison. My heavenly Father will also do the same to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from your heart. And we as believers, we have to do a double take on that. Like, what? I mean, that's scary. What's Jesus saying? And we know that he's not saying, hey, if we forgive other people, we're okay with God, because then that would be a way of earning salvation. And the Bible tells us over and over, there's no way we can earn it. Actually, the story tells us the same thing. So that's not it. And so we also know that, well, withholding forgiveness would be a sin, because Jesus tells us we should. Well, if we're not doing that, does that send believers to hell? Well, no, that's not right, because all of our sins have been paid for. You know, so what's going on? Well, we can see that. We'll see it in the story. As we flesh it out, we're going to learn that if we don't forgive others, if we are not forgiving toward other people who want forgiveness, if we don't forgive others, that's a sign we never really understood the depth of God's forgiveness for us. And if that's a characteristic in your life, then you're probably not a believer. It's that serious. That's what's happening here. So, and this is not, and so as I say that, I know, wow, you're probably thinking that doesn't sound right. You know, you're going to have to prove that. And we'll get to it, because that's what it's saying in the passage. But it's not the only place. For example, in Matthew chapter 6, where Jesus teaches the model prayer. And again, we don't say the prayer a lot, because it's not a prayer that was meant to be repeated. Just before that, he said, don't do vain repetitions. But it's a prayer that teaches us how to pray. But part of that prayer, it's depending on how you learned it, forgive us our debts, or forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. That's a scary prayer. Hey, God, you forgive me for all the things I do wrong, just like I forgive people who do things wrong to me. Really? And then, so we don't miss that, if we don't ignore that, after the prayer is over, here's what Jesus says in Matthew 6, 14. For, he's saying, because, this is why you should pray this, because if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Well, that's great. There's another verse though. But if you do not forgive others, then your heavenly Father will not forgive your transgressions. That's the scary part. Wow. Forgiveness is crucial for believers. Now, Jesus is not saying if we forgive others, we earn God's forgiveness. We know that from the rest of the Bible. And we know that by what Jesus taught. And our sin debt against God is more than we could ever calculate. We can never pay our sin, no matter what we're doing, whether it's forgiving others or doing any other thing. We can't pay off our sin debt. No good thing we do earns us credit against one bad thing that we've ever done. Forgiveness from God is a gift that we can either receive by faith or we could reject. But forgiveness in relationships is crucial. So if he's teaching forgiveness is crucial, especially in the life of a believer, then we need to know. It's crucial that if forgiveness is crucial, then we've got to know exactly what forgiveness is. What does he mean? If it's that important. And so first we'll go with what forgiveness is not. Forgiveness is not minimizing what somebody's done to you. That's kind of popular in our culture, where sometimes somebody will do some little thing to us and we say, hey, that's no big deal. That probably isn't a big deal. But if somebody's done something big and it's hurt us, either financially or by our reputation or any other way, then we shouldn't minimize it. Oh, no big deal. We should just say, I forgive you. Forgiveness is not minimizing. Forgiveness is also not forgetting. We can recognize that an offense happened. We still remember it. We just don't hold it against the person anymore. They don't owe us anymore. So we don't bring it up anymore. We don't keep dwelling on it. We let it go. That doesn't mean that it's like it never happened. We know it happened. They don't owe us for that. We've wiped the slate. And forgiveness does not eliminate all consequences. You know, sometimes there's still room for justice even after forgiveness. You know, they might steal from you and you might say, you don't have to pay that back, I forgive you. But they still might be in trouble with the law. It doesn't eliminate all consequences. And we got to be careful for that. Because here's what we think sometimes. Well, forgiveness doesn't eliminate all consequences. There's still room for justice. So then sometimes we do this. We say, well, I'm not unforgiving. I'm willing to forgive. I'm just pursuing justice. Now, here's the problem with that. You're probably pursuing vengeance. You see, until we've forgiven somebody in our heart, we don't pursue justice very well. It's more like vengeance. It's only when we've forgiven them that we know it's not vengeance. We've got to be careful. So forgiveness means we don't dwell on it or hold it against them. And in the story, Jesus describes forgiveness in a couple of different ways. He says, first of all, the master, the king, took pity on him. And so he took pity. And then the second thing is he canceled the debt and let him go. So those are kind of the two parts. And if we look at that, taking pity, that's not just feeling sorry for somebody. For us as believers, part of forgiveness is us recognizing, it's us doing the deliberate work of processing in our mind that we are also offenders too. Maybe not with them, but we are just like them. We have to identify with the wrongdoer because we have all done wrong. That's kind of how the pity plays in here. We identify with the offending person, realize we're also offenders. Bitterness, grudges, stay in your heart as long as you continue to sort of feel superior to the other person. I'm not like that. I would never do that. I don't know what's wrong with them. No, we have to realize, no, I'm capable of sin too. So that's the first thing. The second is cancel the debt. And canceling the debt, most of us know, that's really the heart of forgiveness. That's the whole point. That's usually what we talk about. And really to totally understand that, the key to understanding how this story applies to us today is that we have to understand, for us believers especially, for us to get what Jesus is saying, we have to understand the size of the debt like they would in the first century. And this is kind of hard for us for a couple of reasons. Number one, it's hard because, you know, 10,000 talents. Yeah, sounds like a lot of money, but we don't really know what that means. The other thing is this guy's described as a slave, and we think of a slave as like a butler, but he's not that kind of a slave. This guy's a slave, but he's a satrap. He's a vassal king. He's a sub-king under an emperor. And that's how he would even have access to owe the king so much money. I mean, he owes the king 10,000 talents is an astronomical sum. 10,000 is like the biggest number in Greek. It's almost like in the story, it could just be he owed him $10 zillion. We're like, oh, yeah, that's a lot, you know, kind of a deal. And we know that, you know, a person could make about 3,000 denarii in a year. But a talent, and it depends on what kind of talent it was, but that would be from 5 to 10,000 denarii. So you would work for maybe 20 years to pay off one talent. But this guy owes how many? 10,000 talents. It would take you 10,000 years if you didn't eat to pay this off. It's an astronomical debt that nobody could pay. That's the point. And when he says, give me patience and I will repay, everybody in the room knows there's no way that's happening. Cannot happen. And when they're sold, you know, off like he was going to do, well, that's not repaying the debt. That wouldn't cover one talent. He owes him 10,000.
And so we have to get that. The point is that it's a debt the guy could not possibly pay. But here's the thing that we miss. For every debt, someone has to pay. Someone has to pay. We don't think of it like that because we say, well, there's a lot of debts. They're not monetary, right? But somebody has to pay. So when this guy doesn't pay the king, well, then the king has to pay. The king is missing 10,000 talents from his treasury. He pays. He absorbs that debt. But sometimes debt is not money. Sometimes somebody does something, they've wronged us in some way where they've hurt our reputation or they've caused people to question our word. It's that kind of a thing. Or that we've lost an opportunity that we would have had because of the actions of somebody else. And so then those things are much more difficult to pay back. But you always pay. Yeah. So the person who lost that reputation, lost people believing his word, lost the opportunity, they absorb the debt of that. And the thing is, when they get to that point, you know, they realize a debt has to be paid. That's why we say you owe me an apology. Because we recognize that there's a debt to be paid. And when you're wrong and somebody creates a debt like that, there's only two options. One is you make them pay. And if it's money, you make them pay it back. If it's reputation, then you hurt their reputation. If it's people question your word, then you cause people to question their word. If they lost you an opportunity, then you work to mess up their opportunities. Or you just harbor in your heart that they will fail at things that they do because you resent them. You're bitter. You make them pay. Or you pay. You pay what they owe you. You absorb the debt yourself. And that's what Jesus is talking about right here. The trouble with doing this is a lot of people would say, well, I get that Jesus is saying that, but you don't understand how bad I've been hurt. And I've been hurt so bad that I just don't feel like I can do that. I mean, my feelings aren't there. I just can't. I got to process this. I can't do it. God is not telling you to feel it. God is telling you to be obedient. What we're called to do is we take, this is an act of our will. This is an act of our volition that we do it. And then when we take action that God says we're to do, our feelings usually eventually catch up. But we don't allow our feelings to keep us from doing what God's called us to do in any area. So if this is it, if this is what forgiveness is, and this is what God's called us to do, then the question is, well, how do we pull that off? Because sometimes it's really, really hard. If forgiveness is crucial, and forgiveness is absorbing the debt that we always don't feel like doing, then how, you know, what gives us the ability? How do we pull this off practically? How do we make it happen? Well, first of all, we know we have to. Because we can't have relationships if we don't have the ability to forgive. It just doesn't work. When you see people that are in marriages that have lasted 50, 60 years, these are probably two world-class forgivers to make that happen. Any kind of relationship we're in, we have to learn how to forgive. Otherwise, it will tear our relationships up with bitterness, resentment, grudges, and everything else. We got to have forgiveness to restore a broken relationship. And it's that sin, that offense, that tears at to break the relationship. We got to have forgiveness to mend that. And so sometimes someone will truly sin against you, but they won't admit it. Sometimes, okay, somebody's done something wrong, but you value the relationship. You know God told you to forgive them, but they don't see it. They're like, no, I don't need your forgiveness. Well, that's a problem. The way we resolve that is actually another sermon. It's from Matthew 18, just before what he's saying on forgiveness. When he talks about,
how you do a brother who offends you. You go to them and tell them, but if they don't buy it and you're sure of your ground, that, yeah, this really was a wrong thing, then you go get another person who knows you both and you take them and talk about it. And then, you know, and then hopefully that'll convince them, or that person will say, you're wrong. You know, that really wasn't a big deal. You need to just let that go. They really don't owe you for, you know, an apology. Does that make sense? So there's a process that where you involve other people in case you're wrong on thinking that that you need to forgive somebody and they need to reconcile. So there's a whole process for that. So how can we forgive? Well, we have to be willing to forgive. If they don't want our forgiveness, we have the spirit of forgiveness. But if they're not asking for it or they don't think they did anything, what happens is we can go on, but our relationship has been fractured some because we don't agree on this. And we don't agree not to agree. It's not like we're agreeing to disagree. It's like we have hurt here and we don't agree that that's an issue. And so our relationship gets fractured and that happens over and over. And then a relationship gets broken and it doesn't get healed. And a lot of times it doesn't get healed even though forgiveness is offered, because it's not accepted by another person. They're like, I don't need it. Don't need your forgiveness. I didn't do anything wrong. Bad for relationships. So how can we forgive? Well, as Christians, it's a lot easier for us to forgive than other people. Because as Christians, we forgive much more easily by recognizing the incalculable debt that we have owed God, that he's forgiven us, that God absorbed on our behalf. And it's easy to say that, but just think about that for a moment. When I'm in the past, when I've struggled to forgive somebody, two things has made it easy to forgive for me personally. The first is I start thinking, because I know God wants me to, so Jesus is telling me to forgive, but I don't want to forgive because I'm ticked. But then I start thinking, look at everything God has forgiven me for. God's forgiven me for stuff I don't even know I did wrong. God's forgiven me for everything I've done, everything I've said, everything I've thought that is wrong in my whole life. And when I start kind of playing the tape back and reviewing that of all God has forgiven me, and then when he says forgiven me, that was a cost. He paid the cost. Jesus came in the flesh and allowed his own creation to torture him to death, and he hung on the cross for 3 hours paying for my debt, my sins. I just think about that. And then the second thing is I think about this. The Jesus who hung on the cross paying for all my sins, every sin I've ever done, he's the one. He's the one that's asking me to forgive somebody else. Something that's just a grain, a speck compared to all the sin I've done. And by the way, my sins against a holy and righteous God, their sin is just against another sinner. And so those two things, recognizing what Christ has done for me, at what cost, and then the same one who did that for me, who loved me like that, is asking me to forgive others. That will do it for me. It's not right for us to receive God's forgiveness and demand others pay us back for wrong. It's not right for us to be forgiven and not forgive other people. And some people say, well, you don't understand. They don't deserve forgiveness. Right? Right, either did I. Either do any of us. None of us deserve forgiveness from God. They don't have to deserve it. We forgive. He forgave all my sins forever.
And so we remember how important that is, and he tells us to forgive, and we cut it. We do it. All these that got baptized this hour and even more first hour have come to the place in their lives where they realize Christ paid for all my sins on the cross of Calvary. He didn't do it as Superman. He did it as a man, feeling everything a man would feel. He paid for my sins. Infinite God tortured to death. It's more than we could ever calculate. And we realize God's loved us more than we could ever imagine. Now, we don't know the half of it. Colossians 2, talking about our debt, says he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. You know, as believers, we realize what he's done. It changes everything. It changes us from the inside out. But here's what I just want to mention. Jesus is warning us of something. He's warning us that an unforgiving heart, if we have an unforgiving heart, that reveals an unforgiven heart. You probably didn't catch the nuance of what I was saying there. If we have an unforgiving heart, that reveals in us an unforgiven heart. If we're characterized by unforgiveness, we probably have not really experienced and understood the forgiveness that God has offered us. That's what he's saying. Receiving that forgiveness from God is the most important thing that you can ever do. Most important decision that you'll ever make. And so today, we've had big crowds. And some people have received God's forgiveness and some haven't. And if you're one of the you're not sures that you have, maybe a haven't, just know God knows you better than you know yourself. He knows you. He knows your name. He knows everything about you, every thought you've ever had. He loves you, and he was willing. He loves you so much to die on the cross to pay for your sins. And he offers you forgiveness. But that doesn't fix a relationship. It's only when we admit our sin and accept the forgiveness that we can have a relationship with God. And that's what he's offering. But we have to respond with admission of our sin and thankfulness for what he's done. Just know that. We're going to stand. We'll close. We're running a little long. I'll probably just we'll dismiss after prayer. But let's pray together. Father God in heaven, first of all, we thank you for all those who followed you in believers' baptism. What a joy it was for us to see that. God, we thank you for our church. We thank you for the people, and that's what the church is, the people that you've put here. And God, help us to follow you better and better, more and more closely. And Father, for those standing here, you know, our brothers, our friends, our neighbors, relatives, Father, more than anything else, we want every person to have a relationship with you like we do. And so God, if somebody's not standing in a relationship with you, Father, we ask that your spirit would reveal that to them in some way, that they would know, I'm not 100% sure, and that they would get that figured out, that they would ask the questions they need, that they would take action, and they would come to you, admit their sin, and ask you for forgiveness based on what Jesus did on the cross, that they would come to that point and do that in their life. And Father, for the rest of us, Lord, we interact with people all the time. And every day, there's probably, you know, 10 different times that we should have a forgiving heart. God, help us to be the people you want us to be. Because we realize, Lord, that forgiven people forgive. God, give us the strength to live the way you want us to. Lord, help us impact the people around us by showing them the forgiveness that we've received from you. God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for the day. And Lord, we thank you most of all for that offer of forgiveness that was so expensive. It cost you so much. The death of your son, Jesus, who willingly gave his life on the cross. Thank you for that greatest gift. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.